Stanley Cup playoff action tonight. You better believe it. The Bruins, coming off a record-setting season, open up their chase for the Cup at 7:30 tonight, hosting the Panthers. And to talk about that and this remarkable season, well, we're joined by an old friend who has not been with us in far too long. We welcome back Mike McCauley. Mike, how are you?
I'm doing well, Rich. How about yourself?
I'm doing well also. We've missed you.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. It's certainly nice to be back in the swing of things, and definitely an exciting year for the team so far.
What a remarkable year it's been. As you take a look at this season, what was the key? There are some obvious possibilities there, but there were some hopes that this would be a good team, but I don't think anybody saw this coming.
No, not at all. And you know, the belief that locker room, the Bruins locker room, really has in one another played such an important role in their success this year. And I think it really started when Bergeron came back and resigned with the team. He obviously made the calls, or made the calls necessary to bring Krejci back. And I think you just have that level of buy-in that the veterans put forward, the players that came before Bergeron, guys like Chara, the guys that really set the tone for that locker room. The younger players see that, and the rookies see that. And I think the level of belief and consistency in one another, that they're all in together, and really so much of it really comes from the culture of the team too that was put in place. But you know, it's certainly been, make no mistake about it, it certainly has a lot to do with Jim Montgomery taking over as head coach. The impact that he's had on this team has been remarkable.
Yeah, well, we're awfully proud of Jim up here as the former Black Bear, really making the most of a second opportunity that I'm not sure a lot of people believed he would ever get.
No, yeah, and it's certainly interesting now to look back when the Bruins were looking for a new head coach, and you know, I think the general commentary was maybe they let go of Bruce Cassidy too soon, and whether or not did he actually lose the room, or is a new voice really needed? And when you think of the coaches that they were looking to bring in, guys like Jim Montgomery, guys like David Quinn, who ended up in San Jose, you know, Montgomery never really got the full chance in Dallas. And the one full season that he was behind the bench, you know, he turned the team around and he really activated a puck possession first system that I think the Bruins have adapted as well. His second chance as well, as he talks about coming over and joining Boston after all he's been through, he's becoming a lot more of a player's coach. And I think one of the biggest things that we've seen from him this season, the amount of emotional intelligence that he has. He's not one to bury a player if they make a mistake. Instead, he takes that opportunity to turn it into a teaching moment. With some of the Bruins' young players, who I think have only had Cassidy in their heads for so long, you know, Cassidy's a tough but fair coach. He's a successful coach. He's also a very different coach than Montgomery is, and Montgomery is certainly a player's coach. And I think you're seeing the results of that in this team.
We've seen a season from the ages from David Pastrnak becoming the first Bruin to score 60 goals in a season since Phil Esposito. And obviously getting that new contract didn't hurt. But right from the get-go, it was clear he was out to make a point this year that he belongs in that conversation about the league's elite players.
Yeah, he's certainly been electrifying this year. And he's always had that element to his game where he could take the game on his shoulders and be the difference maker. You know, as he grows, as he gets more tenured in the league, I think he's taking on more and more of that responsibility, and he's delivering. And I think that's so important for the Bruins' success. Now, this is a very, very deep team, make no mistake about that, but Pastrnak is their best player. As long as he is playing well and as long as he's producing at a high level, which there's no indication to think that he's going to stop, the Bruins will do well. So much of the success of the team really does come from having the puck on his stick.
And I thought the guy that set the tone early in the season for them was Linus Ullmark. He has been so good all year long, but early on, when we thought there'd be, beginning of the season, I think, more of an even distribution of games started between the two goaltenders, but how do you take a guy out who's standing on his head?
Yeah, and it really was a 1A, 1B situation when the season started. And who that 1A or 1B goaltender would be was kind of unclear at the beginning of the year. Now, if you look, remember the postseason last year, Omark got the start against Carolina. So Omark played in game one and game two against Carolina. He lost both of those games. Cassidy then switched to Swayman back and forth. Obviously, they were eliminated by Carolina last year. But going into this season, you kind of had the idea that it was going to be a battle for the crease and to see who the actual starter would be. Swayman took a while to get going, and I think what you saw from Omark was just pure consistency all the way. He has really turned it up a level and has really become one of the game's best goaltenders. Obviously, highs in wins, in save percentage, in goals against average, the triple crown, if you will. He and Swayman together, they're the best tandem in the NHL at this point. There's no indication right now from Montgomery that Omark and Swayman would be rotating games, but I do think it's interesting to watch. Game one tonight, we don't know who the starter is yet. There is a bug going around the Bruins locker room. Swayman was out for optional morning skate today, but Omark was not. That's not totally atypical, but it is something to watch. If Omark is healthy, he is your starter. That he's going to be Montgomery is going to be riding with the hot hand there.
We're talking Bruins with Mike McCauley here on Downtown. Is there any concern, Mike? This team has just breezed through the entire year seemingly untouched. Is there any concern that they haven't really had a crucial game in a while?
Yeah, that's a great point. And yes, I think that there is. Out of every team that the Bruins could have played in the first round, I do think Florida presents the toughest matchup for them. A few reasons for that. Obviously, Florida played them well throughout the season. They went 2-2 out of a total, four games. They split the season series. Florida is an offensively dynamic team. Matthew Tkachuk, Sasha Barkov, Carter Verhaeghe. Those are all dangerous offensive players. Where Florida lacks, I would say, is defense. But here's where it gets interesting. Their goaltending is sort of unknown. Alex Lyon came into the air as the Florida Panthers goalie, number three on the depth chart. He has single-handedly taken the team on his back. He is the reason why the Florida Panthers are in the postseason at this point, getting that number two wild card spot. So I do think that if there is a concern for the Bruins, it's actually the Alex Lyon, who's a right now unproven goaltender. One of the other concerns I would say is that they can't fall behind quickly in these games. The Bruins have been slow to start a lot of the games this year. And I think you saw that in the first period, they would come out and oftentimes would play from behind. They're a third period team. Now that's great. However, against a team like Florida, who likes to get going from the jump and will score a lot of goals, that's not a team that you want to chase. So I do think that there's absolutely concern here where you're going to see a fast, dangerous team who can get under your skin, can score goals. But hey, at the end of the day, the Bruins have the biggest target on their backs out of any team in the league. Who wouldn't want to be the NHL team to say, we took down the Bruins?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Now, if there's a weakness in this team that we've seen throughout the year, I would have to think it would be that power play.
Yeah, and it's starting to come together. The last few games of the season, they made some moves on the personnel for the first and second units, relying more on Dmitry Orlov, who's just been unbelievable in Boston since getting acquired in February. Now, with Bergeron's status unknown for tonight, obviously he didn't practice the last few days because of a bug. They also, Montgomery and Sweeney both said that it could be a nagging injury that he's had. I do think you'll see some movement in the power play as far as who's going to be out there. But with David Krejci is going to be back in the lineup, he adds a lot to that power play, a whole other dimension as someone who can play on the point, can play the high wall, and can really slow the play down around him. That gives a lot of opportunity for the other team, for the Panthers, to make the first move. When that happens, Krejci is often able to find someone, say Pastrnak, waiting in the faceoff dot, ready to fire off a one-timer. Of course, the Panthers know that. The Panthers know that that's Pastrnak's spot. They're going to be watching out for that and defending that one. So the Panthers are not a great not great on the penalty kill. So I do think that the Bruins do have an advantage if they're able to get the power play together. But again, consistency. They just need to start relying on the consistency and, relying on the success that they've had the last few games on the power play.
Who's got to play well defensively for the Bruins in this series?
Yeah, I am looking for a big series for any of those, like the Connor Cliftons, the Derek Forberts, the guys who might be cycling out. So we know that McAvoy's not leaving the lineup, Orlov's not leaving the lineup, Lindholm's not leaving the lineup. I think Brandon Carlo is safe to be that fourth defenseman. The rotation between Forbert, Clifton, and Grizzlick, the 5, 6, 7 guys right now, which is insane because any of those guys are probably top four guys on another team. That's going to be what to watch. Right now, it looks like Grizzlick, if everyone is healthy, is the odd man out. So I would expect guys like Forbert and Clifton to have strong series, especially Clifton. I think his game is built for playoff hockey. Forbert, we haven't seen since, I believe, March 15th, March 16th. So, you know, getting him reacclimated will be important, but a lot will ride on Clifton. I just think he plays that aggressive game. He can play the up-tempo style that the Panthers will come at him against. I do think he could be better around the net, but if the Bruins are looking to have someone activated defenseman in their transition game, Clifton's the guy, and he can do it quite well.
We were doing some research last week, and Bruins, of course, have the record for most wins in a season now. Of the next 9 teams, if you look at win totals in the regular season, 5 of those 9 never even made it to the Stanley Cup Finals.
Yeah, it's really interesting. And you know, one of the biggest takeaways I got from the Bruins, and I was up in Montreal covering the game last Thursday, and there's sort of this aura around the team right now where they're done talking about the record. And I really got that impression that they are very self-aware and they realize the fact that, hey, playoffs start, everything is 0-0. And while they do have that leadership in the room of guys who have been there, so many players on this team right now were on the 19 team where they lost in game 7 against the St. Louis Blues. And they have that mentality of they know what it takes and they know how to take that next step. But I do think as far as the regular season records are concerned and everything they accomplished, I think they don't want to be that team to be regular season champions and then to fade out. So I do think there's going to be extra motivation down the line. If the Bruins do advance and if they, you know, I think the Bruins will beat the Panthers. I don't think this is going to be an upset. I have them in 6 games. I think that might be generous, but I would say that one of the biggest things the Bruins need to watch out for is who they play in the second round. I think Toronto is due, and I think Toronto right now is the scariest team in the NHL playoffs outside of Boston Bruins.
And as you look at the entire league, is there anybody out west who you think is a challenge, or will those biggest hurdles come in the east?
Yeah, I think right now, I think it's going to be the Eastern Conference that presents the biggest problem. In the West, 2 teams that really stick out to me are the Edmonton Oilers and the Dallas Stars. I don't think enough of people are talking about the Dallas Stars right now. The Dallas Stars are built very similar to how the Bruins are built. They have depth. They have these offensively-minded guys who can really take control of the game. Their goaltender is excellent. Their defense is well-structured, really well-coached team. I do think Dallas could make a run. I mean, the Oilers have McDavid, they have Leon Draisaitl, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins. You know, their offensive firepower at the end of the day is just going to be so much to be able to withstand. I don't know if they are. I still don't know if the Edmonton Oilers are built to win the Stanley Cup. Dallas Stars do look like a team, and they're, you know, a win away from being the division champions. But they look like a team that could really make a run and could really challenge the Bruins if it comes down to Dallas and Boston in the finals.
Well, Mike, it's great to talk with you again. We appreciate you checking in with us this afternoon, and we'll try and catch up with you again as we go further in this playoff run.
Hey, thanks for having me. Great to talk to you again, Rich.
That's Mike McCauley talking Bruins with us on Downtown.